Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichukwu today.
When you alone, just worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord. E cala de conde zunde libre che toge. Line monde zunde libre che conde zunde libre de catege. Le baiarun se prenda caia. Le rus zunde libre che bonde caia la dosa. Le rus zunde libre che bonde caia la dosa. Le prende code zunde libre che potosha tea. Le panica ne bonde zunde libre che tosca paia. Le yala de cose de ligre de scopaia la de. Le prende zunde libre che bonde zunde ligre de sca. Le yala baie posha tea catea. Le paia la dosa zunde libre che posha te. Li cara de caia la bragadesha te. Li quelli de zunde libre che posha te. La ye pore de kere. Prende zunde libre che pota le paia la de caia la brade zunde libre che preche tosha le paia la catoche te agadea le paia ligere do zunde libre che pota le paia catea la cate sotea le paia catea la catea caradesho li prende zunde libre che posha tea le paia catea la gradesco prahata. Oh, we worship you. Yes, we worship you. Yes, we worship you. Yes, we worship you. Alekero shete ya la malakataya. Le gara bregeto shete ya galadisha. Le alakate so de abanangadisha. Le galide zundeli bregeto zundeli mne bonde kayala dosha. Yes, Father. Just wave those hands to him. Just honor him. Just wave those hands to him. We bless your holy name, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing. Spirit of the living God, as we continue to minister to you, and even in this moment as we open our hearts to receive, we receive of your ministry via your word and through the agency of your spirit. Unveil mysteries, manifest your glory in our hearts and in our midst in new dimensions. We give you praise and we give you glory. Let grace be poured out in our hearts. May our hearts be strengthened with the impartations of your wisdom. May our hearts and our minds be renewed and transformed in the image of your glory that we behold. We give you praise and we give you all the glory. Do mighty miracles here today. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, we have prayed, and let the people of God say a very big amen. Give the Lord Jesus Christ your mighty, mighty, mighty clap offering of praise. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have your seat in God's presence. And while you are at it, welcome everyone by your side, to your left and to your right. Get to know who they are if you don't know them yet. And let them get to know your own names too. Now tell that neighbor, call them by their names and say, I'm excited you're the one by my side today. Say, I'm on fire. I pray you're on fire too. Say, the fire of the Holy Ghost is burning here. Someone give God praise. So we are going straight into what we have this evening. We are working on God's ancient secret to spiritual power. You can use spiritual power, you can use supernatural power. God's ancient secret. And the first thing we are working on, and we told you that secret is what? We said that secret is what? Fasting and prayers. All right. And so we started with knowing the basics of fasting, understanding the basics of fasting, understanding the basis of fasting. And we started yesterday with the definition of fasting. And we told us that fasting, which in the Greek is nestia, means abstinence from food. And it's usually used to reflect voluntary abstinence for religious purposes. So when someone is not eating because he doesn't have food, that is not yet fasting. In the context of what we are sharing. But a person can actually now turn it into fasting so he doesn't waste the opportunity. Somebody say a big amen. Amen. And then gain something that is greatly beneficial both spiritually, mentally, and physically. And then yesterday we said that for us to understand this abstinence from food, we have to know what food represents. And I gave us two major things that food represents. If you remember, what's the first one? Food represents what? Nourishment. So we eat food to have strength. We eat food to stay healthy. And then for growth. So we get nutrients that revitalizes or vitalizes our body, strengthens our body, our physical body, and then keep us in health when we eat right, and then cause growth. When people are not taking in good food and enough food, we say they are malnourished after a while because they are not getting enough nutrients. They are not getting enough nutrients. So it's for nourishment. Somebody say nourishment. So watch that, because you are going to see it when we start explaining fasting a bit better. And then we said the second thing, food, it's for the second major purpose of food is for what? Gratification. So apart from nourishment, we use food for satisfaction, for entertainment, and for pleasure. We use food for satisfaction, for entertainment, and for pleasure. Now we went further yesterday to establish this parallel truth. You see, whatever God creates and ordains on one side of eternity, let's say the spiritual reality, the spiritual realm, you're going to see the exact parallel truth on the other side. What exists in heaven exists on earth. As his will is done in heaven, is done on earth. So you've got to understand that. You've got to understand that. So we saw these two parallel truths. Okay? We've seen that the way a man will physically and the physical flesh hungers and demands for food, demands for pleasure and satisfaction, The same way the spirit of man can hunger and thirst. The same way the physical body hungers and thirsts, that's the same way a man hungers and thirsts spiritually. And then we saw that that hunger and thirst can also be satisfied. The same way you take food and you satisfy the longing of the flesh, that's the same way God satisfies the longing of the spirit. And we saw some scriptures which I would like us to revisit again just shortly. And let us go to Psalms chapter 42, verse 1 and 2. Psalms chapter 42, verse 1 and 2. And I would like you to hold that neighbor by your side, call him by his or her name and say, Mr. David. Say, are you here? Say, can I read the word to you? All right, read that to your neighbor. One to go. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Again, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Verse 2. Want to go? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you? So tell your neighbor, the same way the flesh longs and for food and thirsts for water or drink, that's the same way the heart of a man thirsts for God, hungers for God. We did that yesterday, right? Let's go to Psalms chapter 63, verse 1 to 2. Psalms 63, verse 1 and 2. Let's read, everybody, and read out loud. One to go. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Verse 2. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. So this hunger and thirst of the heart, this hunger and thirst of the heart, does God satisfy it? Yes, it does. God satisfies it. And let's hear the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. These are the very words of Jesus. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. See, this is a spiritual test. The test for God, test for the things of the spirit, test for spiritual virtues, test for spiritual gifts, test for spiritual knowledge. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And hear the words of Jesus, and he's never lied to anyone, for they shall be filled. Somebody say, they shall be filled. I declare today, every hunger and thirst shall be filled. In the name of Jesus Christ. I declare today, every hunger and thirst shall be filled. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let me hear you shout aloud and say amen. In Isaiah chapter 58 verse 11, which is one of the core scriptures that we use to put out the prayer focus for today. And we worked on that scripture also yesterday. Powerful scripture. Powerful scripture. I want you to hold that neighbor, call him or her by their names. Mr. David. Say, possess the scripture. Come on, let's read it. One to go. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. Wait, what did the psalmist say? The soul is thirsty, longing for God in a dry and That means in a land that is experiencing drought. So God is saying, I will satisfy your soul even when it feels dry, when it feels thirsty, and it feels dry, and it feels like I'm afar, I'm going to satisfy your soul in drought. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. I say strengthen our bones. Now continue reading to your neighbor. Let him get the word of the Lord. Come on, claim it for yourself. Want to go? You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Oh, you raise your right hand. Say, my life is a well-watered garden, a spring of water, a fountain of water whose water do not fail. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, there be no dryness in my life. There be no dry places in my life. In the name of Jesus, everything about my life flourishes. For my life is a well-watered garden, a well-watered field. Everything about my life, my faith, my love, my visions, my passions, my pursuits, my endeavors, my finances, my physical flesh, my health, my family, and my ministry, everything about me flourishes. I flourish. I flourish. I flourish. I flourish in every area of my life. In the name of Jesus. Let me hear you shout your loudest amen. Sit down. The Lord shall satisfy our soul. And yesterday I said that this longing and this thirst of the soul, of the heart of a man, is the reason people go after certain things, trying to fix it. Some bury themselves in their work, thinking that's where they're going to get it. And they walk and walk beyond the provisions of grace. They walk and walk beyond the provisions of grace. You know what it is? Let me show you. So you've got to know when hard work and diligence has crossed and moved beyond grace. At that moment, work becomes deteriorating, destructive, and detrimental. At that moment, work becomes deteriorating, destructive, and detrimental to the person who seems to be a hard worker. The scripture speaks so well about hard work. God wants us to be hardworking. God wants us to be very, very, very diligent. God wants us to outwork others. But we must understand, it's by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Where the person now is compromising his faith. Where the person now is sacrificing the times he's supposed to be at the feet of Jesus. Where the person now is ignoring and despising the priority of God and grace. Then hard work has become his God. Is now his opium. What he's using to fix the vacuum his soul is searching for. There is something the soul of man searches for. That vacuum in there. The search of the soul. So let me even show that, because while I'm saying this, I have to use the scriptures. I do that a lot. Psalms chapter 127 from verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, and it can be unless the Lord builds a family, unless the Lord builds an enterprise, unless the Lord builds a life, unless the Lord builds a vision, they labor in vain that built it. You see, when people begin to walk beyond the provisions of grace, the partnership with the Holy Spirit, they end up laboring in vain. And I didn't say they will make a lot of money. You've got to understand that there is a dimension of God's judgment where God gives the man what he seeks, including money. And if he wants money, he gives him much more until that money becomes his destruction. It's a judgment from God. He will see money and money won't take care of him. He will see money and money will be ashamed. What is supposed to be bread in his mouth becomes gravel. The scripture calls it cursed blessings. He said, I will curse your blessings. So something that is supposed to bless the person becomes his destruction. So the Bible says the prosperity of fools does what? Destroys them. It doesn't mean the person won't get married. But the person gets married. So when people try to explain the blessings of the Lord with material things, you see how far they've fallen. You can actually see how far the person has fallen. Because what is real to that person only is physical and material. The person no longer has knowledge of spiritual things. The person no longer has an introduction, access into wisdom beyond this age. So unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. That means all the labor ends in futility, in vain. Nothing comes out of it. Now watch this. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Lift your hands. I prophesy over this house. I prophesy over our families. This year, the Lord himself is our fortress and our tower of safety. The glory of the Lord is our regard. No harm will befall us. No one and nothing shall by enemies harm us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, no evil comes near our dwelling. Not one who belongs to us will be plucked by the enemy. No one will be missing. No one will be lacking. No one will be broken by the enemy in the name of Jesus. The Lord keeps us. The Lord guides us. The Lord guards us. The Lord protects us. The Lord preserves us and perfect all that concerns us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let me hear you shout your loudest amen. Let me hear you shout your loudest amen. Does it mean we should be irresponsible? No. Does it mean we should despise the laws of safety? No. No. The Bible said we should be awake. We should take responsibility. But the point is, you keep watch successfully because there is a partnership of the Lord. While you do your part, he has your back. Because you can only fix what is before you. You can only take care of what you are aware of. That means he has your back. He gives his angels charge over us. Kai. Throughout 2025, everyone under the sound of my voice and every partaker of this ministry and of this grace, hear me as I speak as the oracle of the Lord. The angels of the Lord are giving charge over us. We enjoy angelic ministries. We enjoy the attendant ministry of angels. We do not dash our feet against the stone in the name of Jesus. It doesn't happen to us by accident in the name of Jesus. There'll be no stray arrow. There'll be no stray bullet. There'll be no sudden destruction that shall come near us. We are delivered from the snares and the traps of the fowlers in the mighty name of Jesus. And wherever they may want to gather against us, against our prosperity, against our safety, because their gathering is not of the Lord, they are scattered. In the name of Jesus Christ, Namu Zayala, lift your hand and say, I fear no evil. Shout it boldly, say, I fear no evil. Now put a praise on that. Glory to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Have your seat in God's presence. Now let's get back to verse 2. I just have it in my spirit to touch on this. Because most times, when people are trained as believers, and the Lord has delivered us from what the society and ordinary people see as vices. Okay, the person is not womanizing. The person is not getting drunk on the street. The person is not, you know, stealing from anybody. You know, all the things they call crime, in certain times there are subtle things, little foxes that spoil the vine. And many people don't even know that their work can become their idol. That they can push themselves. And then the other side of it also is our emotional involvement with people. Passions that become obsessions. Instead of standing and walking in love, the person is falling in love. How can you get anything done when you've already fallen? Please don't fall in love. Somebody say love is blind. Now lie. Love eye open. If your own is blind, no be love. Now love. Something else. You can call it anything. You're loafing about. It's called lust. It's called obsession. It is not love. God is love. So how can love be blind? Somebody said to me, Pastor, explain love. Can you define love? I said, yes, I found the definition long time ago. I said, when I saw it in the scripture that God is love, I said the definition of love is manifesting God to someone else. That's it. So if I love my wife, how does Jesus love the church? I forgive her. I pray for her. I protect her. I provide for her. I love her as I will love myself. How does Jesus love the church? That's how I do it. I love my parents. That's it. I manifest God to them. What's the mind of God towards my parents? And so there are no different kinds of love. There is only one love. There are different expressions of love. There is only one love. Like if you have this water, it's H2O. A different climatic condition, it turns to gas. Another different climatic condition, it turns to what? To ice. And you can use it for different purposes, but it's the same H2O. There is only one love that exists. And that's God. And that's why every kind of love you think that is not love, you try to express towards someone else, always ends up in heartbreak. Always ends up in sorrow, including when it ends up in marriage. That you were dead doesn't mean the deal has been sealed. Wedding is not securing happiness for life. Wedding can be the beginning of sorrow on earth. Wave your hands if you're understanding me. So that a relationship ended up in wedding doesn't prove it was love. So wherever you see love at work, you see the fruits of righteousness. Wherever you see love at work, you see the works of righteousness. Once you don't see God, and that there is no manifestation of God, that thing is not love. And you got to own up, it's not love. Actually, it's not. So let's get back to where we were. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, those who keep watch over it and guard that city, they do it in vain. They stay up and wake in vain. I am hearing God. Kai, the potters are seamless. Hear the word of the Lord. Your seeds of righteousness will not be in vain this year. Your labor of love will not end in vain this year. Your efforts and your endeavors to fulfill and achieve your goals and your visions will not end in futility this year. You will return with emptiness. You will return with sheaves rejoicing. You will return with abundance rejoicing. In the mighty name of Jesus, lift your hands and prophesy. Say, in the name of Jesus, 2025, I decree and declare, I shall have no wasted effort. I shall have no wasted resource. I shall have no wasted labor. I command heavens, oh heavens, release your tears. Release your rain upon my labors. Upon my labors. Upon my seas. I command, earth for earth, yield your increase, yield your increase, yield your fatness unto me now. I command, all ye nations, all you kings, all you peoples, yield your favors. Serve me, bring me favors now in the name of Jesus. I hope you know that what we are calling forth is harvest. And what determines harvest? Seed time. Seed time, not seed. Seed time. If you call for a harvest in January and you want it in February, sow the seed now. So when you say men, strangers that you do not know, serve me. You want to claim the harvest. You must first of all give yourself as what? An offering. Serve others first. That's the seed. Live your life serving. Impacting lives, touching lives, sit down please, touching lives, changing lives, adding value to lives. Every system you belong to, if you're part of a system, don't start thinking of what the system has to do for you. Always wake up in the morning and tell yourself, for me to be valued, I have to be valuable. How can I be valuable in this system? How can I add value? Don't say nobody is seeing me, nobody is favoring me, nobody remembers me, nobody is calling me. No. You are only valued when you're what? Valued. Those who are not valuable and continue complaining, continue whining, after a while, it will move from disregarding to discarding. Those who are not valuable are disregarded, and after a while, they are discarded. In your house, there are things in your house that are not valuable. Sometimes you feel like everywhere. There is clutter everywhere. You start cleaning up. Check what you've moved from disregarding it. You never use it for anything. After a while, I say, what is even this thing doing in my house? Do I need it? It has no use. It has no value to you. What do? You discard. This year, no one will disregard you. Your gift will speak for you. Your contributions will open doors for you. Your value will be significant this year. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, I'm too valuable to be disregarded. Shout it louder. Say, I'm too valuable to be disregarded. So, sit down. If you want the harvest of men serving you, you have to sow the seed of serving men. If you want men favoring you, you have to sow the seed of favoring men. Lord, you wake up, who can I bless? Lord, so stop looking for what you don't have. The secret of having what you don't have, which is your harvest, is using what you have, which is your seed. Every man has something. From where you are right now, with that thing in your hands. And if there is a prophetic insight God gave us during the Vision Summit, one of them is, don't call little, little. Don't despise your seed as little. Little is the seed for abundance. Start using little to create abundance. Learn how to partner with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus wanted to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, all they had was little. So one of the disciples said, what are these compared to this crowd? But Jesus himself knew what to do. Now, you have the same spirit of Christ, and now you have the same mind of Christ. So let this mind rule your choices. Stop looking at things in your hands as little. Elisha asked the woman that was crying, what do you have in your house? And she said, a little oil. That thing you're calling a little is what God wants to use to create the abundance. God asked Moses, what's in your hands? He said, a rod. That's what God will use to part your seas. Somebody shout your loudest amen. Amen. So use what you have from where you are and do the best you can. The key is, don't wait for the historic. Don't wait for the epic. Don't wait for the glorious thing. No. Focus on the daily little things and do little things in great ways. If you're asked to clean this go get series of materials that when you use to clean it, it won't leave any, what they call it again, residue on it from it. And you may even have certain materials that they use with a hand or even machine used, a vacuum system that can be used. Go and research the very liquid that is best for glass. That how you can make it shine. And that's your work. If you can do it in a great way, don't just go and get anything. I didn't come with anything. Get an handkerchief. No. If you learn to do little things in a great way, very soon great things will become little. That's the secret of promotion. God is waiting for those who are excellent at little things. When you are faithful with little, any little thing you do faithfully, that level rejects you. It means you've dominated it. God, by his covenant, by his word, must move you up. If you stay in a level for too long, it means you've not mastered it yet. Start doing little things in great ways. Start doing little things in excellent ways. Excellently and greatly. That's how you do it. Now let's look again in verse 2 of that Psalm 127. Verse 2. You know, we started from unless the Lord builds a house, unless the Lord... There is a reason I don't like opening scriptures. Scriptures open up to me so much. I can from one scripture take you for the next 3 hours. To God be the glory. Look at verse 2. Now, you know where we have been since is I want to show you how people can cross a line with their work and their diligence. Where hard work is no longer a blessing, it becomes a judgment. A judgment, no longer a blessing. May that which is good not be your judgment. Because hard work is good. You can't have hard success without serious diligence. You can't. So look at verse 2. Hold that neighbor and read out loud. One to go. I'm not hearing you. One to go. So eat what? For so he gives his beloved what? What did I tell you that word sleep means? Rest. Walking from the position of rest. You walk to a point and you know grace got your back. You do your part and you know you have a faithful partner, a covenant partner, the Lord himself, that you are not alone. Kaya, today I was shouting it inside my closet as I prayed. David, God is with you. Hi, I was shouting it. I was shouting in my closet. David, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. You shall not suffer any lack of any good thing. Do you know the assurance that gives you? Do you know how you rest? You know how sometimes the Lord is leading me to do something and I miss the mark and I just didn't get exactly what he wanted me to do. And I say, oh Lord. And then I'm trying to fix it and then he pats my back. Literally. Sometimes I feel his hands on my back. And then he'll say, my son, I got that. Go and rest. I'll fix it. I sleep, wake up, and everything else has aligned. On its own. Do you know what it means to know? That your intelligence is not the reason. That the race is not... That a battle is not for the strongest. Neither bread for men of what? Understand it. For those who are wise. That is not of him that wills. Of him that runs. So you finish your hard work. You finish everything. You are even proud of yourself. People are hailing you for it. But you say to yourself, there are those who've done more than this and amounted to nothing. After your truth, you say, Father, I praise you. I thank you. Because every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. From you, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither any shadow of turning. I praise you because your blessing makes one rich. Your blessing makes one excel. Your blessing makes one flourish and adds no sorrow with it. I thank you. Because you said in your word, I'm like that tree planted by the rivers of waters. whose branches stretch forth and leaves are evergreen, that never withers, and whatsoever I do prospers. I thank you because your blessing is upon this work, and by your blessing it prospers. Can you imagine that? Even when you've done your best. Now, let me tell you the secret. If you can walk the blessing of the Lord when you've done your best, you won't faint when you make mistakes. Because then you know the same blessing will work. When you're lagging behind, you won't faint in your heart. Because you know the same blessing will be at work. You know what the Bible says? It said the judgment of the Lord for the wicked is that they should go and gather, kill themselves, sleep around, damage their conscience, shipwreck their hearts, destroy their homes, destroy their health, have sleepless nights, kill each other, lie to each other, defraud each other, and do whatever they have to do to gather, only to leave it for him who is righteous. You know what it means? It means what they struggled and killed themselves to get, God will cause a righteous man to get sweatlessly. The day will come when a man who was worshiping God and has money will buy the company they killed people for to her to build. And God, some of the properties they killed people to get. A man who just singing hallelujah, God bless, and the Lord is blessing him, will come and just possess it, buy it from them for nothing. Hear me. One with God is wiser than the rest. Please, please. You know what I teach? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Put it on the screen. Please, never forget this. Never forget this. This is Apostle Paul. This is the apostle God used to write most of the epistles, the New Testament epistles to the church, the letters to the church. This is the one God used to give us most of the revelation of God's grace. This is the one that is the apostle of grace. So everybody read and read out loud. One to go. I'm not hearing you. I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored what? More than they. If you have the power of the Holy Ghost, you should outwork the rest. No unbeliever should outsmart you. No unbeliever should outtrain you. No unbeliever should outwork you. I'm telling you. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. What audacity. So the preaching of grace is not a license to laziness. It's not a license. When you're lazy, you have received God's grace in vain. When you finish church today, we are only spending and investing 2 hours in church today. My question is, you have between 12 to 16 hours, depending on how much time you're giving to your own personal prayers. 12 to 16 hours, working hours. What did you do with it? Are you going to use the fact that we are fasting and praying to be lazy? Are you going to use the fact that because there is super fortizo for 2 weeks, you now say your business will start after 2 weeks? And it's not the Holy Spirit that told you to go and be on the mountain. Because as a businessman, there are moments the Holy Spirit himself tells you and says, shut down everything. And maybe you've been going around the mountain and you've been trying to make a headway and you're seeing nothing. You're encountering losses and God says, shut down. Stay and wait on me. I want to show you the way out. I want to show you the way forward. That's different. This is not the Holy Spirit telling you to do that. What did you do with your time today? What are you going to do with 12 to 16 working hours tomorrow? Who told you that by the time service is done by 7, that the day is done? Wherever you are in Oka, within 10 to at most 40 minutes, you're home. That's how small our city is. Within 10 to 40 minutes, you're home. You're not in Lagos. You're not in those cities where you say there'll be hold up. Now, there are other people that will say, so God, I'm going to ask you, even if you had to go home now, do a lot of things, what will happen between 9 and 12 before you sleep? Those 3 hours. Do you know what will change in your life if you use 3 hours in the night to work on one thing? Every night, after 3 months, that thing will move. And somebody said, we went to church. Grace abhors laziness. Grace abhors idleness. Grace abhors wastefulness. I told someone, I said, every time I come and I see something, and I look at it, and I observe it. Then I come a few days after, and I look at it, and there is no improvement. This is always my conclusion, no work done. Every time work is done, something improves. If you have a very scattered room, dirty house, all the walls are dirty, not painted for some time. Curtains dirty. You may not paint the wall. You may not buy new furniture. But if you put in just 1 hour work, you will notice an improvement in that room. Every time work is done on anything, there is an improvement. The improvement may not be so enough for you to be satisfied, but there'll be improvement every time you put in work. So when you don't see improvement, work is not being done. You need to go back to the things that you're desiring to see them move, the things you're desiring to see them walk, and trust the Holy Ghost and engage His grace and tell yourself, I will labor than them all in this area. You're a pastor. I mean, what's the value of a pastor? The manifestations of God's glory on your life. The honor of the Lord on your life. That you can stand in the authority of your calling and declare the word of God, and God confirms it as if He Himself has spoken. Your revelations in the word, in the ways, and in the will of God. Your revelations in the spirit, to know the mind of God, to know the heart of God. So you're always armed with a fresh word, with a right word, and with a now word, a word in season. When you're speaking, and when you're ministering, when you're doing whatever, people can feel at that moment, they know it, God is talking to me. This is not just the word of an ordinary man. You want to be armed with such honor of God that every gesture of yours in ministry that you will raise your hands will be a demonstration. You don't just want to come with words, not rhetorics, not enticing words of human wisdom, not motivational word, no, not inspiring word, no. You want to come with creative word. The word of God that doesn't just excite. No way. It becomes in the life of people what he says. The word that leaves the spirit realm and will return void until it accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. The word that prevails and prospers. That's what you want. You want a demonstration of the spirit and of power. Where there is power, there is change. Ability to cause change. People come one way, they leave the other way. People come with issues, they leave with testimonies. So as a minister, you have a choice. You have a choice of being the fisher of man or men that God called you to. Or being a fisherman going back to what God called you out of. You have a choice. You're a music minister. You're a minstrel. I was watching a clip online and I saw a keyboardist, and this minister had come from outside the country, invited into our nation to minister. And while the guy will get on the keys, and as he's playing, the guy will start, people will start praying in tongues. After a while, he turned and said, "You won't let us practice." He said, "You are anointed." The man couldn't stand it. Right? They were in practice. He just started shouting, "You're anointed. You just get on those keys and that anointing comes upon me." And our people just can't stop praying. You put your hands on the keys and the gushers open up and prophecy starts coming out. You know, songs. You notice that the song leaders now are leading in a different realm. They are beginning to sing songs they didn't plan for. They are becoming prophetic in their songs. If that's not what you're seeing, you have been wasting your years. Imagine a pastor competing with a banker. Because he wants to be like this in the eyes of the society. Can anybody come to me now and ask me what is my work? The work speaks. Your work will speak this year. You're trying to compete with others. You want to have the image you think the society respects. Instead of going into your secret place. Until your tongue is set on fire by the Holy Ghost. Until your heart burns. Because until it burns in your heart, it can't burn in the heart of your hearers. Only when it burns in your heart, will it burn in the hearts of your hearers. I'm taking this fast personal. I'm taking this fast very personal. What about you? You're a businessman. You're a career professional. You want to enter the zones. You want to enter the realms of prophetic. You understand the prophetic business? Where you start doing business through the strategies of the Spirit. Where the Lord speaks to you about emerging markets. Where the Lord talks to you 5 years ahead of what your competitors will begin to notice will now be the next trend. And you're already prepared. You've already gotten the market, secured the territories before your competitors will get there. Where the Lord will open your eyes to see gold where everybody else is seeing clay. to see treasures where the Lord tells you, when you're planning to take this course and he says, no son, no daughter, this is the course I want you to take. And you feel like, this course, Lord, everybody doesn't. He said, that's why. That's what I want you to take. Because you know why? Because in the events of things, in his ordinance and providence, he already has an opening in front. And what he needs for you to take possession of that opening is that particular course. And right there, when you walk in there, you will just notice that you took the right course. You are in the right place at the right time, meeting with the right people. It's called Kairos. Boom! Quantum leaps. Level don't change. Level don't change. Something shifts. Prophetic careers. You want that realm. You want that realm. You may not have to go inside all the time like a pastor, but you must go inside as a businessman. You must have your own hours of tonguing. You must have your own hours of being on the mountain. You must have your own hours of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Wave your hands if you're here today. Sigh here. Come on, sigh here. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. How many of you will want to labor in the spirit tonight? Are you sure? Did you come with your prayer point? Now stand up. Lift your hands and worship him. Kadosh, 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 we worship you. Just lift your hands and worship him everywhere. Just worship him. His name is holy. Kadosh means holy. He alone is holy. Every of our holiness we found in him. He alone is holy. He alone is righteous. Lift your hands. Take those prayer points and just worship. And as you look at them, remember again and just worship with them. Just worship with them. Everybody lift your hands and pray in the spirit first. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Let us labor. Let us labor. We have not received grace in vain. The spirit of grace is here. The spirit of supplication is here. The spirit of prayer is here. Pray in the spirit. Legeruto shandeli bregedo shakata. Le brega baba 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 shakata. Likrede zundeli bregedo shakata. Likrede ponde zundeli bregedo shakata. Le brande keto shite alagate. Le brande karabalo shate akata. Le brande keto shandele bragade shale. Likrede zundeli bregedo shakata. Let's practice.
say Yahweh, 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 Yahweh,
Isaiah 49 verse 10 for me on the screen. Leketokotosha. Lepo in the spirit. Lepo in the spirit. Let grace be with you. Let grace go before you. Let grace make crooked path straight. Leketoshakata. Engage the advantage of grace. You have a supernatural advantage. God is on our side. God is with us. God is at work within us. Leketo shakataya. Likrede suteya manangada. Lebrade kaya labalagade. Now listen. Tomorrow, meditate on Isaiah 49 from verse 1 to 10. I'm reading the last one, verse 10. But that is a messianic prophecy. A messianic, that scripture from that is talking about Jesus Christ. So when you are meditating on it, say, Father, give me revelations of your Son. That's what it is. Now, I want you to join me in verse 10. And I want everybody to read and read out loud. One to go. They shall neither hunger nor thirst. Neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water, he will guide them. Tell your neighbor, we are still coming. We are still coming. There is a place I'm going. Hold on. Don't miss one day. Don't miss. This is greater light. I'm taking you in. Prophetic revelations. Even by the springs of water. That there is drought in Nigeria is not for you and I. We are the oasis that men will come to fetch from. We are the solution to the famine. We are the answers to the cry of many. To the cries of many. You are not part of the suffering, no. You are not. We are the ones empowered to alleviate other people's suffering. If not for us, people will not survive these days ahead. Don't count yourself in that place. Reject that old garment. Neither heat doesn't touch us. It doesn't touch us. Pastors, go and check your mantle. Is it working? Stop competing with business people. You are a pastor that does business. You're not a businessman trying to serve God. They are two different things. Unless you just want to be a businessman. When you have a call into an office, go and check your mantle. Go and check your mantle. Go and check your rod. Is it working? Your staff of authority. Where are your signs and wonders? Carry fire. Go back into your closet and tarry. Until you're endued with fresh oil, with power from on high. What's your use with that power? You're a believer, you're a son of God. Abakwanaka gada place. Adawaka rienu. You are desiring a height where there is a clash of spirits. You are desiring a height where there is a clash of authorities, of principalities. And you are going with just, I praise you, Lord. What you are desiring, the height you are praying for, are you equipped for it? Is there fire in your eyes? Since you won't go to native doctor, a particular office caught fire. A particular office, an organization caught fire. And they evacuated everybody. The fire service came in this country. In this country. Came, arrested the fire. By the time they arrested the fire and they were evacuating, every single office they entered, they found charms. Charms under people's seats. The people you're shaking have charms. And you're walking into the same office, trying to take their position. You're in a business. There is no business in this country that there are no courts. And there are no people that try to control it with diabolical means. That decide who will rise and who won't rise. There are horns of Gentiles. There are horns of Gentiles. But the scripture told us in Jeremiah that for every horn, four of them, God had a carpenter. There are also four carpenters. You rise up in the spirit of a carpenter to pull down and to destroy. Carry fire. Don't be a believer and be cold. Lift your hands. Father, we bless you. The reign of answers has begun. Yes, someone got it. The reign of answers has begun. Our worship and our prayers are before the throne room. Incense mixed with it. And as we sing unto the Lord today and dance with our offerings, it will come down back as fire. It will come down back as fire. Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me today? Lift your hands with your petitions and say, I have my answers today in the name of Jesus. Sirs, I praise the Lord. They are released. They manifest. They get to walk by fire in the name of Jesus. Shout your loudest, amen. Are you ready to praise the Lord? Prepare your offerings and your time.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 006 275 3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.